Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, so you want to do what? You're interested in selling these dogs?
I'm interested in selling two dogs I have. One is a Rottweiler, the other is a pit bull. I will sell them to the highest bidder. I can't keep the animals on my property since we live close to a pretty populated area, and they make a very good dog for business. But the animals, I was told by my brother-in-law to get rid of one of them. They're very good dogs. They're not like most dogs, or most dogs are not protective of themselves. These dogs are not going to just let anyone pet them, which I think is smart. And I know of a couple of people in business which they've had their dogs poisoned by individuals trying to gain access to the business property. So my dogs are smart, and they're not going to let it happen. My brother-in-law told me to get rid of them.
Why did your brother-in-law tell you to get rid of these dogs? And if are you outside or something?
It's a little bit windy right now. Yeah, I'm
where are you located, sir?
Yeah, I'm up in Mojave, Phil.
You're out in the desert, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm probably about about 90 miles north of L.A. And
why did your brother-in-law tell you this?
Well, this is what I'm trying to say. He was horsing around with them, and he was throwing a stick and that kind of thing at some point. An intelligent animal is going to know that you're mistreating them. And so one of them, Molly, who's the female, bit him on the leg because he was mistreating her. And
what was he doing to her?
Well, do you know about dogs? Do you have dogs?
Right. I don't have any dogs, no. I've had dogs.
What kind of dogs have you had? If you don't mind me asking. You know,
well, I don't know. I've had mutts. I had a German Shepherd, a couple of retrievers, that kind of deal.
Well, those are good dogs. They're not as intelligent or as protective as a Rottweiler or a pit bull.
But what was your brother-in-law doing to the dogs?
You understand, at some point the animal knows you're mistreating them. I mean, he was throwing this stick, and that's a sign to any intelligent animal, any dog owner will tell you that you think they're stupid. So Molly, the female, got a hold of his leg until I called her off. So he's the one who said I need to get rid of them, and I wouldn't do it, but he's basically my landlord because I rent the house behind his.
Well, who's going to take the animal with a history of biting? See, I've got one rule, personally. The minute an animal of mine bites somebody that they shouldn't, I get rid of them.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. But all animals are different. If you mistreat an animal, my pit bull, Sugar is the name of the male, he's a very sweet animal, but you can't mistreat him.
But this is what I'm saying. What do you mean by mistreat?
Well, the pit bull went after some kids two weeks ago. They were mistreating him. He's a very friendly animal to anyone that's friendly to him. But these kids were coming by the south end of my property, which is where he sleeps. We have the food bowls out there. And they were laughing at him and pointing at him and making fun of him. And that's when one of these kids, whose father's a lawyer, by the way, so I'm not clear as whether this was a set-up job or not. Sugar got a hold of one of these kids, and he had a hold of their leg, and then I come out and I call him off. And the dad of this kid, who's a lawyer, told me I had to get rid of it or he would file a complaint with the Kern County District Attorney. And all I want to know are what are my rights as an animal owner when it comes to that.
Well, everything you're telling me is that these two animals took off after a couple of people and I'm just trying to check my time here, and bit these people.
No, I know that.
And one, your brother-in-law, and the other, a neighbor kid, and the animals you describe have been known to cause serious injury. Rottweilers and pit bulls?
No, I know that, but that's not my dogs. People who own guard dogs, intelligent dogs, have been just put upon by law enforcement for a number of years. I mean, my neighbors think they can call a sheriff on me anytime they want, and as a dog owner, I want to know what my rights are. I mean, Molly, who's the female, bit my brother-in-law, and the pit bull, the kid was laughing at him and not giving the animal any respect like any dog would want, and the animal did what is natural to any animal that's being laughed at or is being called names.
And the kids were calling the dogs names.
Yes, sir. And they called him, they called him stupid, and they said he looked like a trash hound and all of this. And I just got a hold of one of the kids. He got a hold of one of the kids. I told the kid's father, who's the lawyer, I said, that if I hadn't come out when I did, Sugar would have ripped that kid's throat out. And that is the God's honest truth. And I come out, I save him, and yet he wants to sue me. So I don't believe that dog owners have no rights, which is what I was telling the man who answered the phone.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I got the phone number out of my show if people want to comment on this, sir.
That's fine with me, but my main point is I want somebody to call the Kern County District Attorney for me. Because
I don't know. We can look into that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. In one instance, your dog, the Rottweiler, bit your brother-in-law, and another one bit a neighborhood kid. But these animals were being mistreated.
They were absolutely being mystery. My brother-in-law was throwing this stick. But
people will throw sticks to dogs.
People will throw sticks to dogs. But a very intelligent animal like a Rottweiler is offended by you throwing a stick on account of it's way smart. You don't throw... A Rottweiler is not an animal that's going to go fetch a stick. And when you throw a stick to a Rottweiler, the Rottweiler knows that you're... And I can't believe I'm having to explain this, because anybody that owns a dog or owns these kind of dogs knows what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't own a Rottweiler. I don't know, okay?
Well, the Rottweiler, Mr. Henry, first of all, is a German... And it's a German breed of dog. It's got a very stocky body. It's short fur. It has kind of tan facial markings on it. And is a very intelligent animal, very good guard dog. It's a very tough dog. But it's not like if you own... say a chihuahua or something. And
no, I get it. It's not a fetch dog.
It's not that kind of dog. And you start throwing sticks at it, and it will, after a while, become, dogs will become, I guess, say, they will get a temper on them because they feel like you're being condescending to them, like, you think I'm just some stick-fetching dog. And I'm sure that what Molly did, who's the female that bit my brother-in-law, she probably wanted to send a message loud and clear to him that I am not going to go fetch your dog. And understand that these animals have, per pounds per square inch from their jaw muscles, around 1,000 pounds per square inch. So,
and I understand they're powerful animals.
Yes, they are. And when Molly got off of my brother-in-law, he had a couple of puncture wounds. She, like I said, she could have taken his heart out of his chest. And I'm not kidding you. And the fact he just had a couple of puncture wounds, it shows that they're not bad animals. Now, the Kern County DA says I got to get rid of these dogs. And I think my constitutional rights as to dog ownership may be threatened on a number of different levels.
Have you called an attorney?
I called this guy... who's a friend of mine, is his lawyer. I called him up, and he's going to call me back, but I haven't heard from him. And I guess I'm just saying, at what point do my rights come in and the rights of the dogs when it comes to them being laughed at or anything like that?
You keep bringing up this term laughed at or made fun of as if the animals were, the kids were laughing.
Yeah, well, see that... The animal knows that he's being mocked. He doesn't know that he's being laughed at, but he knows he's being mocked.
He doesn't recognize human laughter.
He doesn't recognize human laughter, no, but he recognizes that it's being insulting to them.
Okay, all right, and the throwing of the stick.
Yeah, again, you throw a stick at the wrong dog, and the dog... is saying to himself, or it's not saying to himself, but the dog's saying, do you think I'm just some dog that catches sticks? Man, mister, you made a big mistake. And that's when the female went after my Stan is my brother-in-law.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bethany, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Austin Amarca.
Yes, I wanted to comment on this dog owner.
Yes, ma'am.
Personally, I do not believe that dogs know the difference between respect and disrespect. They are an animal. Obviously, they probably know when they're being mistreated, and they're going to lash back at the person who would mistreat them. But unfortunately, as a dog owner, this man is responsible for his dog's actions. So if people are being injured, his family or other people, unfortunately, that is his responsibility to keep that from happening.
Mr. Amarca?
Well, I don't disagree with the lady. See, that's what I was saying. A dog doesn't know that he's being laughed at, but he does know if he's being mistreated. And when you throw a stick and say, go fetch the stick to a Rottweiler, which is a German animal of great powerful build and a very discerning animal, you're basically telling him he's nothing more than a trash hound to go fetch a stick. And that's why he took off after my brother-in-law. And the other one, the male Sugar, who's my pit bull, these kids was coming down the street and laughing at him, calling him a trash hound. And there's only so much of that you're going to be able to take.
Well, I can understand that, sir, but if your animal ripped the throat out of a children passing by laughing at him or throwing sticks,
well, no, he didn't
do that. That is going to come back on you.
Absolutely, ma'am, but he didn't do that. He simply clamped his jaws around that boy's leg.
Well, the kid was injured. The boy had to be treated.
Well, yes, sir, but the reason why I made the point the lady's bringing up, if he wanted to, all I'd have to do is just snap my fingers or whistle, he would have taken the heart right out of that kid's chest. But he didn't.
But, sir, what about the next time that you're not around? How many people will be injured if you're not around to call off your dog?
Okay, that's a good point. And that's why I'm on. Called up the DA in Kern County, and that's why I also called this guy that my friend knows. Because you can't disrespect these animals. They're going to get angry just like anybody else.
Understandable. I mean, I think you definitely need to look into your rights as a pet owner.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
If people are on your property, sticking their hands through your fence, obviously as an owner, you're taking the responsibility.
Can I ask the caller,
your animal fence.
Bethany, are you a dog owner? Are you a Rottweiler owner, a Pitbull owner, one of those? I think there's a difference between being just a dog owner and somebody who owns these kinds of dogs.
No, I do not. I actually do not own a dog.
Oh, yeah.
I have owned a dog in the past, a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
But I do not fear Rottweilers personally.
If you ever get a Rottweiler, Bethany, you won't find a better animal, more loyal. You just don't want to mess with its head because you start putting stuff into its head about how stupid it is, and it'll brood on that.
All right, Bethany, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Austin Amarca, he's got a in contention with a DA up in Kern County where his dogs, one a Rottweiler, the other a Pitbull, bit two separate people. He says the animals were being mistreated by being laughed at by these neighborhood kids, by being called names. In one instance, his brother-in-law was playing fetch with a Rottweiler, which is not a fetch-type dog, and he said the dog was being mistreated because that's not what they do. So the dog bit that guy, too. He's got to get rid of the animals, but he thinks his rights are being violated as a dog owner. 1-800-449-8686. Man, dogs, something everybody knows one time or another in their life. 1-800-449-8686. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. And coming up next hour, Harvey Wireman's Senior Chat. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you ask Mommy to scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight? The Phil Hendry Show is back.
With me is a gentleman by the name of Austin Amarca in Mojave, California. Now, you have a pit bull and a Rottweiler, both of whom you've been told you got to get rid of because they bit a couple of people. And the difference of opinion here, sir, I guess, is that the dogs bit the people with no provocation. You say they bit them with provocation.
Yes, sir. They were being mistreated.
All right, but let me ask you something. Were these animals on a leash? How is it that...
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Well, how is it that this dog, the pit bull, bit the kid?
Yeah.
How is it that it was able to bite that kid coming home from school?
Well, I have that dog tied to a tree on the south end of my property. So that animal is tied up to a tree, and Molly, the female, was in a fenced-in area where my brother-in-law was playing with her. So both times the animals were tethered up. Now the district attorney in Kern County has basically said I got to get rid of these. My brother-in-law told me I got to get rid of them because he owns the front house where I live. In so doing, he's liable to take income away from my family and I because we do derive income from the animals. And it's not something that people appreciate, but I have in the past made a fair amount of money with these dogs, and I'm talking about entering them in dog fights. And
oh man, that you know, I'm telling you.
Well, whether or not you have you ever seen a dog fight, Mr. Hendrick, it's very interesting, and it's not unlike two prize fighters, and these animals are not injured at all. They're not.
Well, how does one dog beat another dog in a dog fight?
Well, it's just like in a human fight, in a prize fight, it's the one that is able to overcome the other as fast as possible, and when it does, then you get the dog out of there. But I can tell you, not only is it something that I've made a few dollars at, it'll get your adrenaline going sky high, and I think that.
But look, dog fighting's illegal.
Certain kinds of dog fighting is illegal, but
well, what kind of dog fighting is illegal, and is the dog fighting your dogs are illegal?
As far as I know, yeah.
What kind of dog fighting is illegal?
I guess the dog, if the dog gets killed, but in our dog fighting, it's just we make sure the animal, okay, now he's got him pinned down, okay, that's it.
So if one dog throws another dog down?
That's it, that's the end of the fight, yeah. And they'll do that in a variety of ways. Dogs can do it by gripping, what they call gripping. They can do it by certain dog-style wrestling moves. There's
what do you mean dog-style wrestling?
Well, I know it sounds crazy, but there's a certain kind of moves that dogs have that they can pin each other.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Hold on for just a second, Kevin. I want to get over here to Martha. Hi, Martha, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I'm a little nervous, but I want to tell this gentleman it's about time for him to take responsibility and thank the Lord because nothing serious happened, but he can go to jail. He has to be aware of that.
Ma'am, I certainly don't want to go to jail, but have you ever been to a dog fight? They're very fascinating.
Well, they are, but we have to be responsible.
Well, you're right, but where do I go if my dogs have been disrespected and called names?
Well, he need to train his dog. Period.
Well, that's a good point. But Martha and I would ask you too, Austin. How do you train an animal not to get offended when it gets laughed at?
Well, that's what I would ask Martha. I've got two beautiful animals, Sugar and Molly. Sugar's my pit bull, and Molly's my Rottweiler. But these kids come by last Thursday and started laughing and pointing at him.
Have you taken your dogs to a school already? Have they been
trained?
Yeah,
and I asked the man at the dog training school down here in Lancaster, California. I went down there with Molly, and I said, now she gets very upset if it's assumed that she wants to fetch a stick, and she gets angry that people think she's stupid. What can you do for that? And the guy just looked at me funny.
Well, then I will tell you need a good lawyer because you will have problems in the future. You have to take responsibilities now.
Do you own dogs, ma'am?
Yes, I do, and I do love them.
Well, how do you keep your dogs from getting angry when someone points at them?
I try my best to keep them away from other humans that may act funny.
I understand.
Next to them, because I know I will be the responsible no matter what.
That's true, ma'am.
All right, Martha, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-449-8686. Kevin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I got a... You say you took your dogs and had them trained?
No, sir. I tried to get them over to this guy down in Lancaster who works with Rottweilers and Pit Bulls.
Did you raise those dogs from pups?
No, I bought them from a friend of mine about 2 years ago.
Oh, you bought them from a friend, and you're fighting them?
Yeah.
I own Pit Bulls. And I've raised them from a pup. My dog would never bite anybody unless it's commanded to bite somebody. And if you've got some dogs that have been biting kids and biting everybody and chasing people around because they throw a stick, they love to chase sticks
yeah.
and have fun.
Yes,
and
they do.
Dog,
but they don't want to be called
dog,
stupid.
Your dogs are stupid. They're not as stupid as you are for keeping them dogs. You should have them put away.
Hey. You make
it pretty bad on people,
sir,
that have these guys type of dogs because you are fighting them. They are brought up mean, and you have no control over them.
I got total control, but nobody laughs at a pit bull. You know that.
You don't have any control over them dogs at all.
I wouldn't laugh at my pit bull any more than you would.
I got kids
right.
in the neighborhood that come over.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Austin and Mark and his pit bulls. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
The Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-6866.
You fight your dogs if you want a lot of money.
I've won enough money. I mean, I got a new the last dog we fought. I got a new stud necklace for a stud dog collar for one of the dogs, and I was able to buy. My wife and I went down to the Chumash Casino down here and had a good weekend, and I was able to buy her a spa robe and this kind of thing. It's not, dogs don't get hurt. And that last guy I was talking to, he don't know what it is to actually own a fighting dog that can get, you know, offended when you, if you pardon my language, you know, P.O. it, piss it off, you know, if you laugh at it and stuff.
Well, that gentleman's still on the line. It's Kevin. I wanted to give him a fair shot here because we had to go to commercial break. Kevin, you still there?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
I can't believe that you are saying that I don't know what a dog fight is. There is no such thing as a good dog fight.
These dogs go into certain moves.
Dogs go, they, if you had a dog that is supposed to be the way it should be, especially a pit bull, I've got a pit bull, it knows when there's trouble coming, but it will not do anything unless I give it the command to do it.
Yeah, but
it will not attack anybody unless I give it the command to do it. Well, and if you're fighting them, you are some kind, that's what gives us pit bull owners a bad rep.
Oh, you guys are
like you.
A lot of you guys don't
people
fight your
like
dogs.
You.
You're upset because I got bragging rights in my
you're
town.
You're an idiot.
I got bragging
you're
rights.
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot, huh?
I can't believe, yes, you are an idiot.
I got bragging rights in my
dogs,
town.
And then you sit there and wonder why they bite people?
Well,
you're such an idiot. I
sir,
can't believe it.
The dog didn't bite nobody. He put his jaws around that boy's leg because the kid was laughing at him and making him feel small.
You just got through saying it would have ripped his heart out or his
yeah,
throat
that's right.
out.
That's right.
You and just... I'm telling you right now, you're an idiot for having them dogs even out to where people can get into them. You ought to take them out and shoot them because you've ruined them.
You know, you must
that
hate animals.
This pisses me off.
I think
you ruined them.
I'd have sent a
fighting
DA to your house because you must hate animals the way you're talking about them. Shoot them? I would rather shoot my own mother than shoot these dogs. You take
my dog bit somebody. If my dog bit somebody without the proper command, I'd take her out and I'd put her away.
I want to ask this question, Mr. Amarca. I mean, the gentleman just said it. The dog would rip his heart out. At what point does a dog rip someone's heart out?
It's a Rottweiler. It's a pit bull, man. These dogs, you don't mess with them. You don't laugh at them. Treat them like they're stupid.
If you have a dog and you're laughing, I can't believe you. I've got kids running all over my neighborhood, and they laugh and they play and everything else. And that dog sits there and will not do a thing unless it is commanded to do it.
No, but
and it would not attack anybody.
Are they laughing at the dog is what I'm saying.
So what?
Then the dog's feelings get hurt.
They throw sticks to the dog brings it back. It loves it.
So if your kids are bad, you take your kids out and shoot them? Because that's the craziest thing
oh,
I ever
you
saw.
Are. You know what?
No, man, I've been to all kinds of...
You are such an idiot.
I'm $1,200 up, and I've got bragging rights in my...
You're an idiot.
Tax-free.
I cannot believe that you would sit there and say that kind of
Okay, we got to dump him. He just said the S-word. $1,200 up on dog fights.
Yes, sir, and I got bragging rights all over Mojave, and I think that...
Who do you have bragging rights with exactly, sir? The dog fight crowd?
No, not the dog. Everybody knows that who I am, and my pit bull and my Rottweiler, you don't touch them. And you sure don't laugh at them, and you don't look cross-eyed at them. Otherwise, they're sweet as hell.
Yeah, I'll bet, man. Here is Patrick on the Phil Henry Show. Patrick?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Well, I was calling because I was listening to the comments that this guy that's on the show was making. And I raised Rottweilers. I know a lot about Rottweilers.
Huh? Nothing. I'm telling my wife to shut the door because I can hear the kennel right now.
Well, it sounds to me like this guy has purposely brought these traits out in these dogs.
What are you talking about purposely? I don't hurt their feelings.
Anytime you tether a dog, you disassimilate it from being around humans.
What?
Yes.
What kind of talk is that?
That's talk from a responsible dog owner.
Well, let me ask you, are you one of these people that takes your dog to a dog psychiatrist, that kind of deal?
No, I don't do that. I don't need to do that.
Disassimilate it?
Yeah, exactly.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means
it's not used to being around people because you keep it in a yard.
Have you
ever... Did you know that Rottweilers have a lung capacity problem? And that they're actually made to be, I mean, they're indoor dogs.
Sir.
Because their lungs can't process the fluid and the moisture that's in the air. Did you know that?
Sir, with
since
all...
Since you claim on being so intelligent and know so much about this breed of dog.
Sir, with all due respect, you're the kind of guy that dresses your dog up in sweaters and puts sunglasses on him, okay? I don't do that with my animals.
Exactly, and in my opinion, the thing about the dog biting somebody, if you didn't have it properly fenced, you're an irresponsible dog owner, and it's a shame that they're going to have to put these dogs down because you didn't take care of them. Now, take your $1,200 and your studded collar and sleep with that, okay?
Well,
That's something you've got to live with because you're irresponsible.
I'm proud of the fact that I took my wife down to the Chumash Indian Casino.
Oh, boy, you're proud of the fact that you have a gambling problem.
How's that a gambling problem?
That's something to be proud of. You're proud of the fact you got to go to the casino because you mistreated your dogs and they hurt other dogs in a dogfight. Man, you know, you're living it up.
Sir,
you know, I want to be you.
Wait a second.
I want to be you.
Now, you're assuming some things that isn't true. Number one, I don't have no gambling problem. Number two, well, just because I go to a casino...
Do you bet on these dogfights?
Yeah, well, how do you
bet on animals getting hurt?
They do not get hurt. They have certain dog moves.
Oh, dog moves. They're kung fu dogs. You have
no sir, I didn't say that.
Man, you have a real problem. You really do. And this is really making me sick. I really have.
Sir, I'm sick. Have you ever seen a dog fight? So the guy hung up because he can't answer that question.
Well, he hung up because I think he's upset with the fact that you fight your animals and that these animals get hurt in these dog fights. The ones that I've seen.
Have you ever seen a dog fight?
Yeah, I have. Unfortunately, I have. And they're vicious. And the only thing more sadistic and disgusting than the animals fighting each other are the kinds of jackasses that these things bring out. A crowd of the biggest pack of redneck morons that I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I'll tell you what, this redneck moron, and I'm proud to be a redneck, and they're not as bad as a cat fight. Have you ever seen a cat fight?
What do you mean, have I ever seen a cat fight? Like at an alley?
Yeah.
Well, guys aren't doing that.
They're not. Have you ever seen a cock fight? They put razor blades on them, and cat fights... Man, they claw each other's faces.
Wait a second, man. A cat fights in a garbage can in an alley someplace.
Yeah, so what?
No human beings set that up, man. Those are the cats just picking on each other.
What difference does it make?
One, the dogs that are leashed and put in a yard will never get together with each other to fight. Number two, cats fight. That's what they do.
You don't make no sense.
I don't make any sense. Bob, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Bob?
Hello, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. I wanted to comment on a couple of the things the dog owner has said earlier in the show, mainly that about the stick. You said that you did not own these dogs originally. You did not raise them from pups.
No, I bought them off a friend of mine about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And you've also said that these dogs, they know when they're being disrespected and they know when they're being mistreated or mistreated.
Yes, sir.
And I was wondering about the stick. How do you know these dogs weren't mistreated in the past? I mean, the dogs know you. I mean, you've been raising them for quite a while, it seems.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, the guy I bought these from... who I don't want to mention his name because he's pretty fairly prominent. He owns a couple of speed shops in Mojave. He bought them off of this French gentleman who brought them over here from over there.
So these dogs have had a long past with many owners.
No, just this French guy who apparently was a millionaire or some kind of a situation where he had a large estate.
Yeah, but
were they like guard dogs for this guy?
They might have been guard dogs. Yeah.
These dogs don't know your brother-in-law. He picks up a stick. They see this stick raised and about to be thrown. They think they're about to get beaten. So what do they
do?
They attack.
Molly didn't bite him with the first. He tossed the stick a couple times, and she went and got it. Then about the fourth time, she just looked at him like, "Do you think I'm a complete idiot? I was born to do is fetch a stick." That's when she went at him.
So she saw.
I've never seen a dog attack because somebody was throwing a stick at them. It just seemed. Unbelievable.
It wasn't because of that. It was because she felt she was being, like her intelligence wasn't being respected.
Another comment you made of when the dogs attacked the child.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that the dog had clamped down on the leg. You know, you said that all you needed to do was whistle or snap your fingers and this dog would attack. You know,
yes,
that would
take the kid's still beating heart out of his chest. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. This you know, you say things like that, you learn, I mean, you have trained that dog to attack, haven't you? Because obviously this dog knows command to kill a person. You know,
well, no, it's in the nature of a Rottweiler to want to take the heart right out of a man's chest.
Yeah, but does your dog pee on the carpet?
Only if I command it to.
Yeah, so you have trained the dog not to pee on the carpet.
I've trained the dog to, I'll tell you, if you want to know, I've trained that animal to urinate on carpeting if it's somebody's house I don't like, if it's someone's house I don't like.
But you have trained away its natural instinct.
You've trained it to urinate on carpeting of somebody's house you don't like?
Yes, sir.
You've trained away this dog's natural instinct, so...
Well, how do you know it's natural instinct?
It's trainable, so you can train it to command to kill and whatnot, you know?
Well, I didn't train him to kill.
Training a dog to attack is irresponsible.
I don't train him. The Rottweiler just knows that when a kid's laughing at him, the kid's basically saying, you're nothing but a garbage hound. And that dog has won me $1,200. I think the dog is a...
Dogs can learn. Dogs are very smart animals. I
yes,
agree.
Sir, absolutely.
A Labrador Retriever working as a CNI dog and a bloodhound, you know, sniffing out drugs are prime examples. And
right.
Rottweilers are very important. Very smart animals.
Yes.
I've known quite a few.
Well, then you see my point.
But a dog, it does not know when people are insulting it.
You hear all these dogs in the background.
A dog does not know when people are insulting it. It only knows by word association. If you have trained this dog...
This dog knows...
You know, if you have said these words, trash hound, so many times, you know, if some kid comes up and it knows that this is a negative remark and that it's in trouble...
The kid's pointing and laughing. The dog knows when he's being pointed at. Listen to all these dogs I got out here. I've got... These are all friends of mine's pit bulls. I got two Rottweilers, got a couple of Weimaraners, some bird dogs out there. And they're all howling right now, and they want to get at one guy, me. They want to get to my throat. Because I went out there just moments ago, and I said, you're all nothing but a bunch of garbage sow mutts. They're pissed.
Those dogs I'm hearing right now?
Yes, sir.
They all want your throat.
Yeah, look at them all. And screw all of you.
It's amazing that you're allowed to keep your animals, sir.
Why? All you guys suck. See, they're pissed at me.
Because
you know...
All right.
It's amazing. You talk about how these fighting these animals is just, you know, great, but it's still a crime. You know, it's just not as bad of a crime if you don't have dogs kill each other.
Why don't you go put a sweater on your butt?
Look at Kevin, Bob, you've been...
Nothing, sir.
Bob, thank you very much for your call.
Have a good evening.
You too. What's with those dogs, seriously?
I told her... Uh-oh. Molly's not on her chain. Hold on. Oh, my throat!
What happened? What happened? Molly got off her chain? Uh-oh. I think there's a throat that's missing from a neck out there in Mojave right now. 1-800-449-8686. Better double check that whole situation out there. The world famous Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman Senior Chat coming up. By the way, if you want to email Mr. Amarca, you can so at austinamarca@philhendryshow.com. AUSTINAMARCA at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We had Ted Bell on our show on Friday. He said Hollywood is angry about this Bush win. They're so angry in Hollywood, they're thinking about raising ticket prices and not televising the Academy Awards.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I would like to say this happens to be the most ridiculous conversation I've ever heard in my life.
Well, Carolyn, I work in the entertainment business.
I don't care whether you work, what you do.
This is
I'm 76 serious. Years old, and I've lived long enough to know that people, movie stars, don't affect me one way or the other. And for you to say I'm not a shut-in, and I don't watch the Academy Awards, and I don't even go to the movies
that's
anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
shut-ins.
It's and crummy and filthy and dirty.
Shut-ins watch
people
the Academy
have no
Awards.
Effect on me whatsoever, and people like you talk about people being put away, they ought to have the guy with the butterfly net after you. You are ridiculous, and you are sad, and you're pathetic.
Is that right? Well, I happen to be in touch.
People you're talking about, I wouldn't watch them for anything in the world, and I can talk just as much and just as loud.
All right, I'd like to ask the host. May I speak?
You are ridiculous.
The host. I'm asking the host. May I speak?
Of course.
Well, she was saying she's going to talk over me.
The lady's making her point.
Oh, so you're taking her side?
I'm not taking anybody's side. I disagree with you, but go ahead.
Carolyn, if you know any shut-ins, you know that they live in a darkened room, and the only thing they have to look forward to is the Academy Awards. Now, I cited a study...
That is a shame, but I don't think that. I think there are people that go in and visit shut-ins, and I don't think the Academy Awards is what they're living. You have such a grand sense of what you people are. You're nothing. You're getting paid. Couldn't be anything if people didn't go to the movies and pay to see your movie.
Now I get it. You're
okay?
Jealous.
You wouldn't have a job at all if
now
they didn't
I get
do
it.
That.
Now I get
and
it. You're
and I don't go do that because I don't like what you're putting out. I think you're putting out a bunch of trash. And I think you've got some talented people that are misusing their talent. And you've just got
all
a
right.
big problem.
You
want
to go back to the days of the peg leg. That's your business.
And have a few sessions.
All right, Carolyn, it's Phil Henry. I got to jump in here and ask Ted a question.
Okay.
You believe, Ted, that we're going to go back to the days of the peg leg?
Because if the Hollywood stars...
Oh, peg leg, Mappa. You are so stupid that I can't even believe that you're saying that. And if those people will not give to children because I voted for George Bush, then, man, they got a problem. That's
absolutely.
All I can say. Why are you giving it to them? Are you giving it to them because of... I don't understand.
The Hollywood Academy, what they are simply looking for is some apology from the American people for making them, pissing them off.
Don't hold your breath till you get an apology from me. I voted for George Bush. I did it the first time. I'll do it again.
You sound like a typical Bush supporter. No sensitivity for the shut-ins.
And let me tell you one other thing.
And John Kerry would have done more for the shut-in than any...
Let me tell you
take away the Academy Awards from the shut-ins. What's next? Take away the cat food, the tissue box slippers?
There's 100 things they can watch instead. They can watch some old movies
Carolyn, I got a break and take another caller.
Well, say goodbye to Alzheimer's research, Carolyn, and that's something you would care about.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, but the best point that Ted made there, of all of the stupid points he was making, that all of the money that celebrities give to the development of prosthetics, if the celebrities get so angry that they stop contributing to charities, the peg leg makes a return. The kids are walking around in freaking peg leg feet. Clop, clop, clop. Pretty weird, Ted. Pretty sick and pretty weird, but funny. 1-800-449, and funny beats sick and weird. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we commence another week of another month of another year of the rest of our thing. We'll be right back. Harvey Weinman with Senior Chat coming up. Barry the Freak McMillan, the world's most conservative talk shows. And news that he overheard in a bar room from Craig Hardy on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. For something very, very wrong. The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You describe yourself as conservative.
I'm very conservative, Phil. Politically, I supported President Bush in the re-election, and I was certainly gratified to see him win, yeah.
And yet, now, where you work, and you are the owner and the CEO of this grocery chain, Mr. Green, you have a lot of Kerry supporters there, or you did, huh?
Yeah, that's to be expected. My employees are, they have an... They have every right to have their political opinion. I can tell you that I think what has happened since the election is a little surprising, but I suppose it shouldn't be. A lot of these people that support Kerry are angry, and they don't have a sense of humor about it.
Because you've been making jokes with your employees?
Yeah, I've come in. After the election, I made some cracks to them, and... one of the people who works for me, this Sue Armstrong, who you're familiar with, Phil, because of her complaint, I made three different jokes to her, and she got upset about it.
Well, she filed a hostile work, it's like a hostile work environment complaint, saying that there were instances where your jokes were cruel and personal.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. These people that supported Senator Kerry have got no sense of humor at all. Their man lost the election, and our guy, George Bush, won. And now that the shoe's on the other foot, you know, because they were laying it on the president pretty good.
I would agree with that.
You know, during the campaign, and now they can't take a joke. And her complaint, Phil, is based on three instances, if I could clarify that.
Go ahead.
One was on November the 3rd, the day after the election. I came by her check stand. She's one of the checkers in our store in Buena Park. And I came by her check stand, I said, looks like the country's safe for another 4 years. The other was on this past Thursday when we were in our lunchroom, and I remarked to her that under Senator Kerry, I said breast jobs are probably going to be free for all of his Hollywood friends, and that was a joke that I was trying to make. And the other was this past Friday when she said to me she was offended by President Bush's election since it would mean diminishing equal rights for women, and I told her, well, that she had a good job, so what was she worried about? And
well, what, here's the thing.
But if I could, I just want to interject one thing.
Go ahead.
This woman is an employee and also someone that I have admired, and my question is this. Last summer, I asked her if she wanted to go get a drink, which was just me trying to be friendly, and I asked her about three times out for a drink, and she declined me all three times, which I guess is her right, but how come she gets to shoot me down for a drink, and when I ask her out, but I can't take a few good-natured shots? And I think what's happening here is the heart and the soul of these Kerry people. No sense of humor, but they get to, in the case of this lady Armstrong, when I ask her out for a drink, she's turning me down.
Are you taking these shots because you're angry with her for not going out with you, or are they simply politically and philosophically motivated, you know?
Well, Phil...
And the breast job comment that Kerry, if he got elected, would have provided free breast jobs for all the Hollywood friends. That's what you say... You said.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Well, she claims in the complaint that you said she was angry Kerry didn't get elected because now she can't get a free breast job.
I can tell you to the very best of my recollection I didn't say that. But the larger issue here is the inability of these Kerry people to be able to laugh at themselves and realize they're wrong. They got beat fair and square, and they're crying about it. I came in after the election. I gave my Kerry employees some shots. How come I can't do that? Even though when I asked her out for a drink, you know, and all I was looking for was maybe some dinner for her to be as good to me as I've been to her.
All right, well, you got yourself a hostile work environment complaint here, and your basic theory here is, not theory, your belief is that because she's a Kerry supporter, she's got no sense of humor and you can't take some shots.
No, she's gonna file a complaint against me, and meanwhile, I ask her for a lousy drink and she says no to me. And so these are the things that I think the American people are seeing very clearly. These people that supported Kerry, you know, they're a little thin skinned.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show. My guest is Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods, who has a dealing right now with a hostile work environment complaint from an employee who says that his jokes or his comments about Kerry are creating a hostile work environment, and you say she's a Kerry supporter, she just has thin skin.
Oh, without question.
But some of these comments made by you, she's claiming were very personal. The breast job thing.
I do not have any recollection, Phil. But
let's just ask this question. She's not bound to go out with you because she works for you.
No, I understand that, but that means if she doesn't go out with me, I can't make a few comments about her supporting Kerry.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Had the woman consented, if she had consented to going out with you, would you then today not be giving her a hard time about Kerry losing, making jokes?
Well, it's not about Kerry winning or losing, Mr. Hendry. I'm just saying, how come she says, you know, I asked her out for a lousy drink and she shoots me down, but I don't get to make the Kerry comments?
It could have been the nature of the comments. You claimed that on November the 3rd, you came into the store and said to her, well, it looks like the country's safe for another 4 years.
That's correct.
All right. She says in her complaint that you said it looks like the country's safe for another 4 years from single women and their abortions.
Phil, I think she's taking that completely out of context.
Well, what did you say?
To the very best of my recollection, I did not say what you said. I said I'm asking you and the media to look at the larger picture of what's going on. The people that supported Kerry can't even laugh at themselves. They're getting bent out of shape in the usual ways, and even though we won, we can't have any fun with them. And on top of that, and the point that I made to my attorney, all right, she's free not to go out and have a lousy drink, is all I asked her to do.
She doesn't want to go out with you.
No, I understand that, but how come I can't make comments about Carrie, you know, losing?
Can I ask you this? Because this is in the complaint, too, and it's a little offensive.
Go right ahead, sir. I mean, if it's offensive, I can assure you I didn't say it.
She claims that you called Carrie a douche.
No, sir, I did not. To the best of my recollection, I didn't.
So were these jokes, or were they just mean-spirited? I mean, that's...
Well, no, they were jokes. I don't know why you're assuming they're mean-spirited, only because she has the complaint. You have the complaint in front of you, and it is the likelihood in our society that women get the benefit of the doubt, and any time they complain about a man...
But you are tying it to... You are tying in these jokes to this idea that she didn't go out with you last summer.
No, if I'm making that connection, I'm sorry.
Well, that's what it sounds like. In other words, it sounds to me like you're saying, hey, how come I can't rag on Carrie? I asked her out for a drink and she said no.
Well, if it sounds like I'm tying it in, I'm simply asking a rhetorical question. She's a Carrie supporter, and because she's a Carrie supporter, she's thin-skinned. She can't take the fact that he lost, and she doesn't like a little good-natured ribbing. So I come in and I say that this Carrie, you know, it looks like your guy, Carrie, lost. You know, he's a real, I didn't call him the word you said. I think I said he was a scumbag or something like that. And she goes running off to the California Labor Board and files a hostile work environment complaint. And yet I can't ask her out for a drink. And she says no. And she goes out with guys. And I'm the CEO of the company. And that is not to say she has to go out with me because I'm the CEO of the company. But she goes out with bag boys. I've seen her with two or three of the guys that load in the back of the store. See what I'm saying?
But you're saying to me, what you're saying to me sounds like a revenge thing, though. You see?
Absolutely not, Phil.
Well, if you say, how come she, you know, she can't take these Carrie jokes, and yet I got to listen to her tell me no when I ask her out for a drink, it sounds like you're...
No, not at all. I don't care whether she goes out with me, you know, or not, although I can't understand why she wouldn't go out with me, and she's going out with the guy that drives the... One of the guys that drives a bread truck, who is here once a week, she's gone out with him. So I made the comment about Carrie, because I'm very happy President Bush won, and I made a couple of jokes, and these Carrie supporters...
Are all of your employees that supported Carrie this, as you call it, thin-skinned?
Well, you know, you can see they cringe a little bit when I make the comment. They can't laugh at themselves. But this Sue, the lady who brought the complaint, which I never in a million years would have... You know, she gets upset because I said that Carrie was a piece of, you know, I compared him to a piece of garbage or something like that. I'm joking around.
She says the word you used was douche.
I do. To the best of my recollection, I didn't. I said I think the guy was a bag of something. I forget what. But, and yet, there she is, and I asked her for the drink. Forget it.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Henry Show. Let's go over to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. You're with Robert Green of Fraser Foods.
Yes, my point is that I think Mr. Green is just trying to get back at this woman because she refused to have drinks with him. He obviously didn't get the point or didn't take the hint when she said no the first time and didn't take the hint when she said no the second time. He had to embarrass himself and ask her out a third time, but...
Why do you say I'm trying to get back at her? I was just making jokes about her guy, Carrie, who lost, because they all year long, it's all Carrie's this and Carrie's that, Carrie's going to win. And as soon as he loses, I made a couple of jokes.
Well, you called him a scumbag. Is that funny?
To me, it's a riot. It's hysterical.
Well, I disagree. I mean, that's just childish. If you're a CEO of this big company... You know,
how come she gets to say no? All I wanted was a lousy
because
drink.
Because that's a woman's right. You have every
okay.
right to say no. If somebody said, you know, gee, why don't? How about you come to my house for dinner? You have the right to say no.
Why would I say no to that?
Maybe you don't like the person.
Well, if it's if for instance the shoe was on the other foot, there was a very powerful female who was, you know, had money.
What does power have to do with it?
Well, I would be very flattered.
It's a different thing, man. The whole socioeconomic status of women is still much different from men's, Mr. Green.
Well, you know, for a guy that voted for Bush, Mr. Henry, you sound like a Kerry supporter. And
I'm a Democrat, but this got nothing to do with this. I think the point that the caller is making is it sounds like a revenge thing.
That's not revenge at all. It's how come she goes out with a guy that drives a bread truck? What am I? See what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I don't think she's trying. Maybe she's afraid that if this drink thing doesn't work out, maybe you're trying to pursue a relationship, that you're going to retaliate by, you know, making her job or making her time at work uncomfortable.
Well,
I'll tell you now. If my boss asked me out, I would say no in a heartbeat. I'm happily married, but honestly, I mean, isn't it kind of like a general rule? You don't date in the workplace?
Why would you go out with someone if you're married?
Well, obviously, I just said I wouldn't I'm happily married.
Of course not. So how does that apply to me?
Maybe she thought the guy in the bread truck was better looking. Who knows? But you're obviously
taking this
personal.
That's fine. That's fine. She can do that. And yet I can't come into the office and say Carrie is going to be giving out free boob jobs and stuff like that.
I mean, I just think that if you're the CEO of a powerful company,
right.
Now I'm just an ER nurse. I've been an ER nurse for several years. Doesn't everybody know that you really don't discuss politics in the workplace? I mean,
in my workplace, ma'am, in our lunchroom where the young people that work for me are allowed to talk about what they want, I think that's what makes a happy workplace. And I said, so why don't you go get your free boob job? And she got upset.
So you did refer to her as getting a free breast job if Kerry got elected.
I said something about how you're sorry Kerry didn't get elected because that means you don't get your free... Because Kerry would give out free boob jobs to all of his Hollywood friends.
That's funny, because a few minutes ago you were denying it.
No, ma'am,
You said you didn't recall it.
I don't recall.
Funny how they changed their story. If my boss asked me out, I would say no.
Right.
And you know what? You're just trying to get back at her.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take a break, Jennifer. Thank you for your call. Robert Green is with me, the CEO of Fraser Foods, who has a hostile work environment complaint filed against him today. Mr. Green's a Bush supporter. One of his employees, I imagine this may be happening all over America, one of his employees, a Kerry supporter, says that he's made some crass and crude and harassing jokes. Mr. Green says he's simply celebrating President Bush's win, and why are these Kerry supporters so thin-skinned? 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me, Bob Green.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Robert Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods out of Buena Park, California. You also manage the store there, right?
Yes, I do, Phil.
So you're the Buena Park manager, and you have a hostile work environment. You work right now, because I'm hearing a lot of, work.
Oh, yeah, we're in the stock room, actually at just the back of the loading dock where we're unloading for the day. But I want to say that I have never been more insulted by the fact that I voted for Bush, and I'm getting persecuted for that. And
well, you say now she's persecuting you. The complaint she files is that you made some crass jokes after Bush won, of a personal nature, and you say you should be allowed to make those because you asked her out for a couple of drinks and she wouldn't go.
I asked her out for a lousy drink. Back in the summer, she said no. Now I'm getting persecuted because I supported Bush and she didn't. And as she's saying, I got a hostile work environment. So two times I'm getting persecuted. One time because I vote for Bush, and another time because, you know, she's just personally angry. That's all. I mean, because I'm making jokes. And she can't take it. So,
and you're the CEO of this company making these comments on the air. Does your attorney know that you're on the air?
My attorney is fully capable and confident that this case has no merit whatsoever. I ought to be allowed to rub it in a little bit about how stupid Kerry supporters are. And also, I should be allowed to have a little venting of my frustrations because I asked her for a lousy drink and she...
And she said no, and you're frustrated and you ought to be allowed to vent your frustrations?
I'm not sexually harassing her. Other than, I called Carrie a scumbag, and that's it.
And you also said that it's too bad Carrie didn't win and you would have got your free breast job to this woman.
That's not sexual harassment. She talks, she's not a well-developed woman. It was something that I would think she'd be interested in having, that's all.
In other words, because she doesn't have the most impressive chest, you're assuming she'd want a breast job.
And that's just a joke. It was not intended as anything more.
I got to tell you something. I'm not a lawyer, but it sounds like you're in trouble.
Well, sir, with the greatest respect to you, Mr. Henry, I do have a very good lawyer.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. David, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Phil. I just want to let you know, Bob, I just wanted to make a comment to you. I really think that you're using the result of this election to be able to sneak in these comments to this woman that you are feeling resentful against for not,
you're wrong.
Well, I might be wrong, but,
if you're wrong, then what's the point?
That a person in your position is going to say the things that you're saying. One,
what did I say?
Person.
What did I say?
Two,
some jokes?
You're going to go on the air, and you're going to let people know around the country that you're saying these things.
Hey, what did I didn't say anything wrong.
You have a case.
Wait, are you telling me I should be embarrassed for making anti-Kerry jokes?
No, you know what? I think you're totally entitled to your opinion about John Kerry.
There you go.
As is everybody. But what you're not entitled to is an opinion about a coworker's physical attributes. That's where you cross the line, and that's what's going to get you in trouble.
All I said was to this lady, I would assume because you don't have the most impressive chest, Kerry would be your man because he'd probably give free boob jobs.
See, that's crass and crude.
Yeah,
and
right over
for.
The line. You crossed the line.
And nobody's making the comment yet about how she shoots me down for a lousy drink. See what I'm saying?
It's not grounds for you
not
can't
even
go
in the
to
same
the
universe.
You can't go to the California Labor Board. Thank you very much, David. You can't go to the California Labor Board and complain that I asked a female employee out for a drink and she turned me down.
No, and I wouldn't go to the California Labor Board and complain that somebody made an anti-Kerry joke, but she's doing that and yet I can't do that. If she goes to the California Labor Board and says I made some comment about her, she's got a small, little, BB billiard ball chest or whatever, and
you didn't say that, did you?
I didn't say no, sir, I did not. But if she does that, why can't I say I asked her for a lousy drink, one drink, and then we're out of there? She said no.
Man, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene has made some anti-Kerry comments to his employees. He thinks that they can't take it. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Mr. Robert Greene.
But you're taking it out of context.
All right, hold on. Mr. Robert Greene, the CEO of Fraser Foods. Now, you got an employee is upset with you.
I understand that. But what you said, Mr. Henry, I think is taken out of context, and I wanted to clarify that.
Well, wait a minute. The comment was made by you, admittedly by you, John Kerry, if he'd been elected president, would provide free breast jobs for all of his Hollywood friends.
Exactly.
All right, but commenting to this employee, this Ms. Armstrong, that her chest was like two BBs on a billiard table. Didn't you say that?
No. You want to focus, and your callers want to focus, on a comment taken out of context. I simply said that Kerry was that kind of a superficial guy that he, and I've got nothing against him personally, I'm sure he's a fine man, but I don't think he would have done anything more than pay back his Hollywood friends, and I used the term breast jobs. And
well, where did this BBs on a billiard table come in?
The comment BBs on a billiard table was in reference to, it was a joking reference to Ms. Armstrong. And
well, right, there's your problem.
Well, it's not a problem, Mr. Henry. The problem is that people that supported John Kerry cannot laugh at themselves, can't just suck it up and say we lost. They got to file lawsuits, sexual harassment, all the liberal agenda that these people live and breathe by. And
Mr. Green, with all the greatest of respect, any place, anywhere, any time, an employer says a woman's chest is like a couple of billiards on a BB table, or BBs on a billiard table, it's going to be a big problem.
I'd ask this lady out. We had a personal relationship. I'd ask her out for a lousy drink. What she's elected to do is take this to the California Labor Board and turn it into a big thing. And let me tell you why. Because her guy, Kerry, got stomped by Bush, and they can't take it.
You really believe that?
That's exactly what I believe, without question. And my attorney believes it, too.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods. Diana, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Green, I am a supporter of President Bush, and I'm in New York State, a blue state.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with you that these Kerry supporters are often lacking a sense of humor.
Well, you see my point.
Yes, but in my opinion, I think this harassment charge has a lot of merit to it. As the CEO of a company, I just think it's very improper of you to be asking out employees, regardless of whatever personal relationship that you have with her. Whether it's right or wrong in this day and age, you just can't do these things anymore.
All right, fine. So I asked her out. She turned me down. So what's wrong with me making a couple of anti-Kerry jokes?
Anytime you bring breasts into the workplace, you know, they're going to nail you to the wall.
Well,
whether you like it or not,
well,
it's just not appropriate in this day and age.
I've got to get this line out. She brought her breasts into the workplace. That's a joke.
God, you know
isn't
what?
Isn't that great? Well, yeah, the problem is calling them BBs on a billiard table.
Yeah, look, this is way out of proportion.
Well,
unfortunately, I think that your perspective is a little skewed and that you're probably going to lose unless you start changing your story and stop talking about this, taking her out for a drink.
Why? What am I saying that's wrong?
You're mixing apples and oranges. You cannot talk about Kerry comments and asking her out for a drink in the same story because it's going to be construed as you having a grudge, which is what a lot of the callers have been saying. Whether you like it or not, whether it's right or wrong, the laws these days say that as a CEO, a person in power, you really shouldn't be asking these people out. I'm a professional, independent woman. I was in a similar situation with my own boss a few weeks ago talking. He was bashing President Bush, and I didn't feel comfortable disagreeing with him. It wasn't harassment, but it was very uncomfortable,
that
and
sucks.
He didn't mention my breasts at all.
I think
that you need to stop and put yourself in the context of 2004.
Diane, do you know how many successful couples there are today met in the workplace? People, where would you rather people go meet? In bar rooms?
May I ask your age, sir?
I'm sorry?
May I ask your age?
Yes, I'm 47.
And how old is she?
21.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
What do you
end
mean,
of story.
What do you mean, there you go, end of story?
I'm 36, okay?
What's that
at 21 years old, this person, I don't care who she is.
She's not a kid. She's a legal adult.
You know what? At 21, you don't think you're a kid.
And then at 21,
really, you look
calling
back
them
on it, and you were.
BB's on a billiard table. I'm sure at that age, she's got all the self-confidence in the world.
Right. When I was 21 years old, I worked for probably...
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Diana. Here is Melissa on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Melissa.
Oh, hey.
Hi.
How you doing? I just wanted to make a comment. I think that
I feel like I'm on the Dr. Phil McGraw show with all of this because I wanted to talk politics. Because that's what I thought this would be about.
But you've talked.
Can I just make a comment?
Go ahead, Melissa.
I just wanted to say that your comment of the Kerry supporters being, super thin skinned, they can't take anything. Well, it seems as though
they're real
right-wingers. You can't take anything because you're taking this that she turned you down three times, very personal, and you can't get into your head that she just doesn't want to go out with you.
I know she doesn't
want
to go out with me.
And all the comments that you're saying are basically just to get back at her.
No, wait, I know she doesn't want to go out with me.
Every caller that's come so far has said the same thing. So
I know she doesn't want to go out with me.
She doesn't like you. She'd rather go out with the bread guy if she makes $5 an hour.
You're not telling me anything that I don't already know. What, I didn't need your phone call. I already know she doesn't want to go out with me.
You keep bringing it up, though.
What do I keep bringing up?
It has nothing to do with your case. The fact that she didn't go out with you does not have anything to do with your case, and you keep bringing it up as if that's something that you
gets to do.
It's personal to you, exactly what the other caller said. It's so personal to you.
So why is she taking it personally?
That she would have gone to you, and why would she? You're like, you could be her dad.
Why is she taking it personally that I made comments about Kerry? Why is she taking that personally?
Because of the way you said them and the comments, the context in which you said them.
What did I say? What did I say?
The whole, using breath, saying them in a way that as if she would want to have to go get a boob job. I mean, come on. You know.
Oh, come on. Are you trying to tell me that in this day and age we can't make a leisurely comment about a woman's, you know?
Yeah, no, you can't. I'm sorry.
A leisurely?
You better being
it's
a CEO of a company. You should respect your employees more, not to say stuff like that.
Ma'am, I thought we lived in the 21st century where employees get to know each other over an eight-hour day, over the course of months and years. And
she doesn't want to get to know you. She doesn't even want to have a drink with you.
You can't make a leisurely, relaxing comment about the size of a woman's breasts.
You called them BBs on a billiard table.
Exactly.
Well,
I mean, what if she made a comment about something that you had?
Like what?
Well, just use your imagination.
You know, I don't
think that would be appropriate for her to say comments like that?
Well, how is she going to make a comment on that? I mean, you can't, you know.
Do you think that would if other people were around? Because apparently when you said your comment, there were other people around. And
that's the other thing.
What if she made a comment like that? How would you feel about yourself?
She was probably embarrassed.
First of all, she can't comment on the size of what this lady's saying because men don't dress to accentuate that. Women dress.
Maybe you do. Or not.
Well, I'll tell you this much. A relaxing throw-off comment like, hey, you know, you're really small-chested. Why does that, in this day and age...
You got to be kidding.
I know, exactly. I'm in awe here.
What do you mean you're in awe? In this day and age, why is it that... And yet, I say...
Are you married?
I'm separated.
Okay,
How long have you been separated for?
My wife and I separated last year.
So you're not divorced?
No. Oh, I guess that... What, does that make that a mortal sin, too? See, what I'm trying
to... No, but I just think it falls along the pattern of that you maybe just don't understand women, and you don't get it. And comments like that aren't going to get you anywhere.
Well, I if I made a mistake, I certainly... But I really believe it's because all of these... Are you a supporter of Carrie?
I think you hurt her feelings.
About.
I don't... It doesn't really
right.
matter who I
Melissa,
support. It's really not about
yeah.
the election.
Thank you, Melissa, for your call. I think a lot of callers are saying this isn't about the election.
Well, then why is it she files this complaint 4 days after George Bush shoves his fist right up Kerry's...
All right, can we cut that, please? Because I don't want that on the air.
I'm sorry. I
don't want those kinds of comments on the air. 1-800-449-8686. Lonnie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead.
Hi. I really think that because I've experienced situations like that where I've had managers stare at me or I've had bosses ask me out, and I really don't think that that's appropriate for a professional situation where in a business office or anything like that. And I think that you're just basically taking it out on her that she just did not want to go out with you.
Well,
and she should not have to go out with you.
Oh, no. Yeah, I totally agree. Lonnie, may I ask how old you are?
I'm 19.
All right, see, your experience is probably what, like a Blockbuster or something, or a Subway? Well,
That's entirely irrelevant, actually.
Well, I don't know what experience you're speaking of. I mean, if your boss at the Blockbuster may be the same age as you. You see what I'm saying?
That's actually entirely irrelevant because this is about you, and
Starbucks,
I've actually had a lot of jobs since I was 14.
All right, but if you're working at a Starbucks, your boss is what, like 6 months older than you? You can't really see that as...
Well, wait. Just hold on. Let's stick to what... You're the boss. She's an employee. You ask her out. I'm not of the mind that it's a bad thing for coworkers to ask each other out. But when she's repeatedly said no...
Well, you give her a chance to think about it. Look, sometimes a woman says no, she wants to see if you'll, you know, keep asking.
No.
And another thing is, a leisurely comment about...
Yeah, BBs on a billiard table.
No, I don't get it.
No, yeah, if anybody ever said that to me, even if I was sexually attracted to that person, that would hurt my feelings.
Well, but, see, she was the one voting for Kerry thinking he was going to give out free boob jobs.
That is so not true. Is
yeah.
she one of his Hollywood friends? Why would she even consider herself connected to Kerry at all?
Well,
and believe me, I am a Bush supporter fully. I voted for him.
Well, then you know what I mean. I did too, and you know that Kerry and all of his Hollywood pals... it's all about, are they going to get free nose jobs and stuff?
What?
All of his Hollywood friends have plenty of money to get that stuff done.
Yeah,
is not what it's about at all.
No, you're right, but all of the people that don't have money...
Oh, look at Mr. Green, we're going to go round and round with the breast jobs and the nose jobs, but the fact is, It is a hurtful thing to say to a woman, something like that, especially when you're not a friend of hers. And
well, I don't know if that's the case.
You're not a friend of hers, dude. She doesn't want to go out with you. You're her boss. Thank you, Laura, Lonnie, for your comment.
Lonnie, can I just ask you this, Mr. Green? Where do you work?
I currently work at Macy's.
All right, so you're working at the perfume counter, and your boss...
All right.
I actually work in the science shop, so I work a permanent job with lots of older people.
Science shop?
I make sure all of the tickets and the signs are correct for sales.
Oh. Do you have... all right, never mind.
All right. Thank you very much, Lonnie. Continued success.
Sure.
Thank you. And, Ann, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I would just like to say that this man, he's just totally offensive. I mean, breasts do not, they are not, that is totally inappropriate to do in a workplace.
What is
whether,
that?
Whether she's got large breasts, small breasts, it's none of your business.
Yeah, but how come
she is employed by you to do a job, not to be ogled over or commented on the size of her chest.
Well, absolutely.
And I think you should shut up. As your lawyer, I'm amazed he is not called.
I'm very...
told you to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Because you are causing your own case to go right down the
Well, Ann, look, no lawyer tells me to shut up. That's no lawyer that pays that I'm paying the bills for tells me to shut up. That's number one.
Well,
number
then he's doing you a disservice because you are clearly sexually harassing that woman.
Wait a minute. How come I
you
can't
are
make...
clearly sexually harassing her, and she definitely has a cause. So you better start packing up some of your money because you're going to be paying a big settlement.
I can't make a very just relaxed comment.
That hey, you do not make a relaxed comment about somebody's breast size.
Yeah, a real
that
relaxed
that
comment.
Is, that is totally inappropriate. It is totally inappropriate.
Mr. Green, in this complaint, she mentions the fact that you wear a hairpiece.
That's right, and no one makes a joke about that because it's a $15,000 hair system. It's not a hairpiece.
And yet you can make a comment about her breasts.
I wear a hair system. She called it a toupee. You see the difference, Ann?
I don't care what you called it. You have no right making references to her breasts, and that is not a leisurely comment.
Well, I
you
find it
totally
very relaxing. You don't think it's
I
relaxing.
I cannot believe you are a CEO of a company, and you have not had any training at all what is appropriate.
A hair system, not a toupee, a hair system. That's not
I don't care about your hair.
And what is...
I care about the fact that you have no right making reference to somebody's chest.
Yes, size. Mr. Green, do you understand?
That is not a leisurely comment at
so,
all.
You wouldn't... So you don't appreciate a man... Very relaxed, just laying back in the lunchroom, almost slouching in his chair, saying, hey, Ann, you know, you could use maybe some tissue paper up top.
And you know what I would say to you?
What's that?
You are a jerk, and I am going to sue your butt.
Are you saying that a woman is supposed to...
You have no right making my work environment hostile.
If I was relaxed in the chair when I said it.
You don't pay me to look at my chest.
All right, look, but the point here is, you're thinking because you're slouching in a chair, it's okay to make the comment.
Like, I don't care.
Like, you don't care, but she does, and that's the difference.
All right, Mr. Henry, I want to say this. As a Bush supporter, you really disappoint me. And if you were an employee of mine, Ann, let me ask you this, Ann. Which fruit
Trust
could
me, I would not be an employee
All right.
of yours.
Which fruit could I compare your breast to?
All right, I'm getting rid of him. And
yeah,
thank you
I think you really need
to. Thank you for your call. I appreciate your input.
Okay,
1-800-449-868. What does he want?
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
I just want to tell everybody we got pork chops this week, and we got a fantastic center cut loin chop for only
1-800-449-8686. Mr. Robert Green, we'll follow this sexual harassment case as it develops. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up next hour, we have Austin Amarca and his pit bulls. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass. Plug into the world. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Austin Amarca lives in Mojave, California. He's got a problem with his dogs. We'll talk with him at the top of the hour on the Phil Henry Show or next hour. These sexual harassment suits, here's one here. Same-sex harassment claims rising. Now, these are same-sex harassment claims where a guy harasses a guy, a woman harasses a woman. Here's a guy named Steve Bartlestein, WABC New York. He's an anchor there. He was accused of harassing a coworker. They settled this baby out of court, and everything looks good. He's back on the air, right? See, people are people. Like gay marriage. By the way, I had a very interesting conversation with my son. My son, Nick, he said this. He says, look, marriage is nobody's business. It ain't the government's business. Marriage is the religious thing. You see what I'm saying? In other words, what we do is called a civil union. When we do it in a church, it's called a marriage. If you're going in front of a justice of the peace, technically you're just having the law legally sanction it. So that's a civil union, right? The government shouldn't have anything to say about marriage, whether it's a gay person's or a straight person's. You can't say to me, if I'm gay, and I go to a church, the Gay Church of America, let's say I go there. Now, you just said to me, I can have a civil union with another guy, right? Isn't that what the government says? Suppose I go to the gay church, and they marry us. Are you telling me I'm not married? Are you, in other words, I have all the same rights as a married guy because of the, as a straight couple because of the civil union law, correct? And yet it's that word you say I can't use? Well, guess what? People are going to use it anyway. If they go to the Gay Church of America or the Lesbian Pentecostal Assembly and they say, you're married, what are you going to tell them? No? See, this is when the government gets involved in religion, man. Marriage is a religious term. You ain't allowed to use it if you're the government. Get the hell out of it. And the president knows that. That's why he wants to amend the Constitution, because it's unconstitutional right now to keep gay people from being, quote, married. It's unconstitutional. That's why there's the need for a constitutional amendment is because it's unconstitutional. See? Anyway, gay folks getting married, straight folks getting married. I guess we can continue talking about it or not. I may get bored with the whole topic.
Yeah, I am. I'm already.
Thanks, bud, you jackass. We'll be right back with Austin DeMarco on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry. Internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world-famous Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-86...
Sounds like a festive time.
It very much is, Phil. And part of it, of course, is our young man's display, where we do celebrate the young African-American men and the African-American family, because much more attention, I think, need to be paid to that.
Well, it's an admirable goal. Now, you're talking about the young man's display entailing young black women marrying young black men to reinforce the African-American family.
That is correct, but particularly young white women that are prone to be attracted to young black men.
All right, now what do you mean by that? And we're talking with Clara Bingham. She's a middle school teacher. Tonight you're having an open house at Joyful Union Middle School, right?
That is correct, yes.
All right, what do you mean about young white women and young black men?
Well, the message that we want to impart to all young women, particularly young white women, that our young black men are needed in their communities to lead their family. And in order for that to happen, we want young white women to realize that when they see a beautiful young black man, to let them marry a beautiful young black female and resist the temptation to engage in a relationship with him. In our classroom display, we call it getting your hooks in. We tell our male students that all women are to be respected and treated with dignity and gentleness. But you need to be aware that there are a lot of white women who want to get their mud hooks into you, and you need to resist that.
This is a message about the racial and cultural integrity of the black family. Are you speaking to black men directly about this?
No, really, Phil, our message is for white women primarily to please leave our men alone and not get their heads filled with ideas about getting married and this sort of thing, because the white woman is not primarily interested in that with a black man. And
well, what are you talking about the interest of white women? It sounds to me like you're discouraging interracial marriage.
Not necessarily, no. I think it's simply more with white women, it's a trophy question. You've heard of the trophy wife. White women like to be on the arm of a black man because it sends a message to other white women that they are perhaps they are hipper than they are, or they have more style or something, but
Doesn't this belittle any woman who's white who may be in love with a, or in a committed relationship with a black man? See, you're saying that...
No, I don't intend to do that, Phil.
But you're saying the message to white women is please leave our men alone?
Well, it doesn't have to be as direct as that, but in essence, yes. In essence, we are saying to white women that the party's over, that we are looking toward a century where we are trying to rebuild the black family. And we are trying to give the black family integrity. And I don't intend to belittle any woman. White women who are currently with black men and have been with them for longer than, say, 6 months to a year, they may be hard to find, but I'm not really talking about them. I'm simply saying to white women who are shopping, shopping around for a black man or what have you, to please leave these men alone so they can find a black wife and begin the process of reconstructing the black family in America.
It sounds to me, Ms. Bingham, and I'm give our number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham, that you don't want to see white women and black men. Let's get back to the idea that a family is a good family no matter what the race of the members. If it's loving and moral and the family members are committed to each other.
All right.
What about that?
But unfortunately, in a family where the father is black and the wife is white, the children are black, and they see their black father with a white woman, and they start wondering why this white woman would want to get her hook in this man. So the children become polarized and confused as to why mommy has glommed onto a proud black man and not a white man. And the idea is to reconstruct and to reinforce the integrity of the black family. And you have a lot of white women, and they're very good women. But they want to, go slumming, or they want to cat around, or this kind of thing. And we are simply saying to them, the party's over, and we want you to leave our men to them.
But you see, here's what I'm having a hard time with, and I realize that...
Please don't read this in a racial way, Phil. I think you're reading it in a racial way.
Here's the thing I'm having a hard time with. If a white woman and a black man meet each other, and they fall in love...
But that is a rarity. That really is.
That's a rarity.
That's not a real common occurrence. As I said, if you can find me a white woman who's been with a black man for more than 6 months, 6 months to a year, let's say.
All right.
I'm not speaking necessarily directly to her. I'm talking to the overwhelming majority of white women who want to, get their hooks into a black man because it's a status thing. And our beautiful young, or because the white men are not, the white men they're meeting these days are a little bit trashy or this kind of thing. So they're looking for a man who has some class, a man who has a sensitivity to him, if you will, a man who has some soul to him. And I don't mean that in a racial sense. I mean that in a sensibility sense. Then certainly she is going to be attracted to a black man. But I am saying to the white women, with our young man display and whatnot, please keep your hooks out of our black man. Keep your mud hooks out.
That's the thing. And you've got this display that says, keep your mud hooks out of our men.
It's just a colloquial way of trying to communicate directly the idea that we are trying over the next century to reconstitute with integrity the African-American family.
All right, and that would preclude then black men and white women getting together.
That is correct.
All right. Now, let me ask you about the opposite, black women with white men. What about that? Does that jeopardize the integrity of the black family?
Well, it's not. Black women with white men do not pose, I don't think, feel the same problem. A black woman with a white man, it is a more logical choice. In terms of the socioeconomic standpoint, it is logical for a black woman to choose a white man. I am speaking primarily of our beautiful young black men being seduced and this kind of thing. That's an unfortunate word to have to use. Unfortunately, I have to use it by these whites, by the whites who want to get their hooks in and go for a joyride. You know, some kind, in some cases, a sexual joyride. But certainly it doesn't do anything, I think, for our family. And we ask the white women of America to please leave our men alone. Please leave them alone so they can bond with a black woman and get with the business of constructing and making sound the African-American family. Quit fooling around with our men.
a lot of what you're saying here sounds, in a way, demeaning to the white women.
I certainly don't intend that.
Well, I mean, quit fooling around with our men. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm simply saying, I think a lot of white women treat black men like they're some kind of a plaything or a toy or status symbol. I'm saying leave those young men so they can be with the woman that ultimately they can build a family with.
All right, Clara Bingham is with us. She's a middle school teacher. Tonight you can hear the sounds of the classroom behind her. They're having a open house. What grades do you teach, Clara, that with middle school is...
Right now, at Joyful Union Hill, our middle school is 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and we get our children prepared for a college preparatory four-year high school.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about the need for black women and black men to marry and to, as you say, Clara, reinforce the integrity of the African-American home, and you have made an appeal to white women to, quote, don't put your hooks into our men, which I still think sounds a little negative.
No, it is simply a colloquial reference, that's all. So don't put your mud hooks in, your meat hooks.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Nina, hi, Nina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham.
Hi, Clara.
Yes, hello.
Hi. I think you're wrong for what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
I believe that you're wrong for what you're saying about white women need to get their hooks out of black men. And
well,
if a black man wants to marry a white woman, that's his prerogative.
Well, I think that a lot of black men get seduced by these women, you know, because of some kind of a status thing. All I'm trying to say to the white women is don't get their heads filled with all kind of ideas, you know.
That's not fair to say, because my twin brother dated nothing but of the other race, and I'm a black woman, okay? And I never felt that he was doing anything wrong. That was his choice.
Well, I don't think
it's
wrong.
And I was happy for him.
Yes, I don't think it's wrong. I think it undermines the integrity of our African-American family.
No, it does not undermine.
Did they have children together?
No, they did not. Unfortunately, he was killed. But
what I'm saying is he was very happy. See, the white girl toyed with him.
She didn't total him.
I'm saying she toyed with him. Did she have anything to do with his death?
Now, hold on for a minute. We're talking about something.
No, she did not. She did not have anything to do with his death. What I'm saying to
you is that he was very happy. Well, what I'm saying is, darling, how do you know she didn't put a lot of fool ideas into his head and he went and got himself killed?
Because he was a strong black man. He was a strong black man. A very strong black man.
Yes, of course he was. And I'm sure he was a wonderful brother. But
he was a brother, too. He was a strong black man that loved a multicultural woman. We called him Mr. International.
Can I tell you something? Does it ever occur to you that he might be still with us today had he found himself a beautiful young black sister to be that?
Boy, that's pretty...
You know, that is so disrespectful.
That's really rough.
I'm a teacher, and my job is to get to the root.
Well, I'm not teaching the right message to your students, so I don't even know how you made it to become a teacher.
Well, now, what could not...
That's the problem with today's schools, is that these teachers are giving our students their message and their beliefs.
What could be negative about trying to get the message out about a strong black family with a black father and a black mother and all that?
That's evolution theory.
They
just put a sticker in the book saying that it's false now.
I didn't hear you, darling. Your phone is breaking up.
It's like the evolution theory. Did you hear about that? They had to put the stickers in the books in Atlanta because they feel the evolution theory is wrong now.
Well, that's all nonsense. I'm just simply...
That's how you sound, like nonsense.
Oh, I don't know. What is wrong with a strong brother and a strong sister getting together and all these white women...
Nothing wrong with that. My mother and my father made me my father. But what is wrong with a strong white woman and a strong black man getting together making a big, cute, mixed race baby?
Well, because that's just it. When you put a white woman together with a black man, it all gets diluted and mixed. It all gets mucked around, darling. You don't want to...
what do you mean it gets mucked?
Those kids are beautiful. You can't deny that.
I'm not saying that the children aren't beautiful. I'm saying that there's no such thing as a strong white woman, number one, just between you and me.
I can't even talk to you because you're wrong.
I just want to jump in. This is Phil Hendry. Ms. Bingham, you're saying some things that are rather insightful. We say there's no such thing as a strong white woman.
There's no such thing as a strong white woman with a black man. That's all I'm saying.
Quincy Jones is not a strong black man, and I know he's married to Peggy Lipton still?
Oh, well, but you know he fooled around on her.
You know he's fooling around.
All right, okay.
No, you know he's fooling around on that woman. You know, look at Peggy Lipton.
He's a prime example.
All right, look. Is there another way you can put this?
No, I'm saying there's no...
Look, Ms. Bingham, what I'm saying is there another way you can put...
I'm not saying white women are not strong. I'm saying put a white woman with a black man, and you get a tendency toward a criminal mindset. And what I'm
Basketball players marry white women. They're not criminals.
Well, they marry white women, but they're still going with black girls, you see, because they want to be... They get out of...
Do you know how many white men have white wives they miss on with black women? Did you just now watch the black woman's got a lawsuit against that talk show host?
You have to stop watching too many of the TV talk show and find yourself a black man.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Do you live in the South? Where do you live?
I live in Los Angeles, California. I live in Bellflower, California.
You know where you're blinded then. Obviously, you're blinded.
Well, you live
in LA, and so do I. And you telling me that it's not real?
All right.
You got to come off of this lady. Oh, come on.
You trying to make a black family. You
men date white women. Oriental women date black men. White men date
Oriental
women.
Sister, I gotta tell you something.
It's just a love triangle. Everyone's gonna love one another.
Sister, I think you are yelling so loud, darling. Darling.
KKK mentality.
Now, Nina, listen.
KKK mentality.
Nina, listen to me. You are screaming so loud. I think you blew the speaker out of your cell phone.
Hold on, ladies, I understand what the caller was saying about Ms. Bingham's comments being a little bit insightful. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Clara Bingham, who is a middle school teacher at Joyful Union Congregation Middle School in Bellflower. One of the displays they have tonight at their open house is, I think it's called a young man display, where they encourage young black men and young black women to marry to reinforce and to regenerate the integrity of the African-American family. And to that end, she is openly asking white women to, and she said it, and this is maybe what got the caller upset, to quote, please stay away from our black men and not, you know, she said, I think she used the phrase, if I'm not mistaken, the joyride's over. Get your mud hooks out of our black men. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up in our next hour, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County on the further celebration on the Bush election. Tonight we're with Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation Middle School. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten any children? Have you seen them lately?
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Your brother dated a white woman, Ms. Bingham?
Yes, I feel my brother Kevin did, and we had to have a family intervention with him. We said to him in so many words, you know, she is a very beautiful young white girl who, you know, filling his head full of a lot of fool ideas, you know, about...
When you say fool ideas, what do you mean?
Well, see, you know, all that you are so strong and you are so sexy, all this, you know. And this is nonsense. A white woman going to feed a black man's head full of this kind of thing for about 6 months to maybe 8 months. And then she'll trap him like a bad habit for the first white man to come along and swing open the door of a Jaguar or Rolls Royce, you know. But
you also said that it's logical for a black woman to be with a white man.
Just from a socioeconomic standpoint. It makes sense. You see a sister with a white man, and you just nod your head, and you go, well, that makes sense. You know, that doesn't shock me, and I don't think anyone sees that as unusual. But I think what we are trying to say is we need our young black men to lead our black families. And to the white girls out there, you know, your fun's over, the joyride's over. You had a good time while it lasted. It's time to, you know, wipe the makeup off your face and get yourself a bath, you know, and get back to, let's get back to the integrity of our families, all American families.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham with us, who is encouraging young white girls to please stay away from black men. They need to head up black families. Stephanie is on the line. Hello, Stephanie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello. I am very upset with what you were saying, Ms. Bingham. I thought that since the Civil War, everything that's been happening with Martin Luther King up to the present is to show that the black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people are not a color, but a human. So I would say it's a human man with a human woman, not a black man with a white woman.
Well, now, can I ask you where you live?
I live in Ventura County.
Well, that's nice and white up there, isn't it?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, birds of a feather flock together. Now, you up with the white people up there because you feel comfortable with them.
What and is I'm this saying, white people?
Well, a white woman wants to change a black man. We have a thing in our culture, you know, the Oreo, black on the outside, white on the inside.
That's absurd. You're taking the beliefs that are being changed.
Now, hold on. There's also a thing called a vanilla wafer. That's white on the outside and black on the inside. That's what a white woman wants to be. And we're simply trying to say, let's let our black families grow without a young white girl like you. Well, you're a young white girl. You're going to stick a lot of ideas into a black man's head. Are you going out with a black man right now, dear?
Excuse me?
Are you dating a black man right now, dear?
No, ma'am, I am not.
That's good.
And I
hope you keep it that way.
That would be me dating a male.
All right, Stephanie, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. You understand that in a lot of ways you're baiting these people.
No, I'm trying to educate Phil.
All right, we'll be right back with Clara Bingham on the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking to us from Joyful Union Middle School, where she is a teacher, is Clara Bingham. She is, you're obviously African-American, Ms. Bingham. I don't think I ever asked you that, but you teach at a predominantly black school?
All of our students are African-American, yes.
Okay. You are saying that young white women, please stay away from our black men. We need them to relate to and to eventually bond with and marry black women to reinforce the integrity of the black family. You say that white women have been on a joyride. A lot of the things you're saying sound just a tad, shall we say, inflammatory, dare I say racist.
No, Phil, there is nothing racist about what I am saying. I said there is no problem with a black woman being with a white man.
Why do you think white women go after black men? You said it isn't about sex. You said it is about status.
There's a certain hip credibility, too. You have to understand that young white women have grown up in the white culture where they strain so very hard to identify with the more, shall we say, subcultural credibility of being an African American. You have Eminem and all this. You know, he's a white boy who, you know, probably when he's at home talking to his mama or whoever, he talks like a white boy. Well, he get out on the TV and the radio, and he wishes that he was black. You know, and a lot of white girls wish that too. And so, because they want to reject their parents and their whole status quo, so they go after a young, beautiful black man in 8 months to a year. They dump him like a bad habit, and they're on to their house on the hill. And I'm just saying that we're saying as black women, you know, your joyride, your good time's over. And you can keep your mess at home now, and you can twist around some white man's head.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everything you're saying about white women and black men, they're out to twist their heads around, mess their heads up.
But I don't think they're doing it intentionally. I just think a white woman with a black man means black man's head gets twisted all and messed up. It's not that she's trying to, but every time you put a white woman with a black man, it fills his fool head with all kinds of crazy notion, and he gets all messed up.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham. Here's Carmen. Hello, Carmen.
Hi.
Hi.
this call is for Clara. I've dated a black man, dated for a black man for all 5 years, and it's the black man that seeks the white woman out. I'm Mexican, and they're the ones that seek the woman out, not the woman seeking the man out.
You're Mexican?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's not quite the same thing.
It is. I've lived in America all my life.
Well, I know, but
I'm
you're not American. You're not white.
I am American.
You're American, yes, but you are.
But
you're basically black.
The black man does not seek the white. Is the one that seeks the seeking out.
I don't know.
It's not the
in
woman.
Your case,
and
we
I
can't
don't
be sure
any man's
honey,
around or their
right, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold everybody, hold on. Everyone's talking over each other.
I'm just simply saying, Phil, in her case, it's not really the same thing.
Why?
Because she's Mexican, and there is a little bit more of a black thing going on with them than there is white women.
Are you saying, in other words, Carmen being Mexican, she's not white?
Not the kind of white woman I'm talking about.
Well, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman?
The middle class, yeah. That
I am middle class.
Not some purple nail polish wearing. You just said I am not. No, you see, your language is like from El Monte or something, darling.
No, I'm from Vista, California, and I'm not from El Monte.
Well, you're
home girl or
well,
anything.
Well, you sound
like
a hoochie mama with that. No, I ain't no kind of language, right?
Oh no, the only hoochie mama.
What do you mean hoochie
girlfriend?
My girlfriend. I'm an educator with a 4-year degree
so
as a teacher. You are a teacher, and you speak that way, that kind of English.
Oh, excuse me.
What do you teach?
I work.
I said I was a teacher. You said you were too. So what do you teach?
I've taught everything. And I'm also work for the greatest place
everything?
Ever.
Let me ask something. Do you know how to remove a cuticle? I think that's what she means by teaching.
All right, now wait a minute.
No, I'm not no person that
I'm not
there.
No. Here she goes with that language again. Girlfriend, you have got to get a book on English and learn how to construct an English sentence much
you
more.
You teach what? Preschool?
I teach young people how to say I am, not I'm not no.
Excuse me.
All right.
Me.
Yes, that's right. Now, you go get your purple nail polish and go out and find yourself an African man or whatever it is you...
Yeah, you're African
you're speaking down.
You don't teach speech, do you, darling?
Don't need to.
Have you...
I really don't need to.
Where did you teach
when
basket weaving?
When I'm talking to a woman like you, I really don't need to.
Well, wherever you taught people how to weave baskets, I think you need to...
Oh, now you're putting the Native American down?
Well, if that's what you are.
Are you putting the Native American down, too, the original American?
I guess you're going to tell me you're that, too, huh?
I
first
am.
First you're white,
that too.
Then you're Mexican, and now you're Indian? Look, the Indian.
Indian? What is Indian?
You know, the Indians with the whole war whoop thing. Is that what you say you are?
We're Indian? I thought we were Native American.
Well, all right, whatever whatever floats your boat.
That's listening to the
Hillary
show, Native Americans, please call this woman because she knows nothing of what she's talking about.
Well, I tell you what, next time
Indian,
you have a war dance,
I've never heard of an Indian.
I tell you, why don't you sweep out your teepee and invite me in for a cup of whatever you have, and we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm,
but next
mm-hmm.
you'll be telling me you're a leprechaun.
All right, look, thank you for your call. There's a lot of racism coming out.
No, Phil, it's not racism. I'm simply I'm yanking her chain.
Well, it sounds very... it sounds as if you're objectifying people and...
Well, look at you. No, I'm just yanking her chain. Now, see, a hoochie mama calling up with a purple nail polish.
She didn't say she was a hoochie mama. She said she was Mexican.
It's not the same thing, Phil, as the white women I'm talking about. And
well, what's the difference?
The Latin woman in America, culturally... is married a little bit more closely to the African-American culture as opposed to the white woman who is more Northern European. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Now, she says she white. She says she Indian. Then she said she a hoochie mama. I don't know what she is.
She never described herself as a hoochie mama. She simply said that she was Mexican and she dated a black man. Let me move on with the calls and forget about whether or not we're... The ethnicity of the people that are calling. We're talking about white women and black men. Here is Rashan. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to tell her that black men want them women. That's why they want them women. Them women aren't seducing them men.
I know
them
you
men
do.
Want them women.
That's because you got them your full
don't like
all
themselves. Them men don't like this black woman. Them men want them straight-haired women.
Well, that's right.
Now,
because
you
got
it.
Your head still
all I ask them men to do, all I ask them men to do is not
look,
talk
if we're
going to
have people
woman.
Talking over each other, I'm going to hang up on both of you.
Okay.
All right, look, Phil. Here's this fool who wants to be white.
Don't call him a fool, because that's not going to get...
Well, it's true, isn't it, Rashan?
Let me tell you something.
How come you take that Muslim name and you want to hang out with all the white girls?
Let me tell you something.
No, I want to know.
I
you
said
take
they
all...
do.
You're taking on
a Muslim name, and yet you want to be with
you're
all.
You're not listening to me. You're not
you
want to
go out with a vanilla wafer girl. You want to go out a vanilla wafer girl, and you take a Muslim name.
Ain't nothing
He's
you can
not
do
saying.
If that's what they want. You understand what I'm saying now?
Ain't nothing you can
they
say.
They pursue them. They
Rashad,
go after them.
You can say no, darling. That's what you can do.
I'm married to a black woman.
Well, then what you fussing at me for?
I know folks who go after them white women. And then what they will say is, the white women want me, but the black women don't want me. So they know what I got.
You know that.
All the time, they're not pursuing the black
women.
You understand what I'm saying?
You know, black women are going after the white man because they want a little socioeconomic security.
I ain't saying about no black women and white men. I said the black men are going after those white women or those Latino women.
That's right.
And they're pursuing them because that's what they like.
But look what happened to Kobe.
They perceive them as more beautiful than their
own. Now, you see what happened to
Kobe. They don't like themselves.
You see what that happened to Kobe Bryant? He went after a white girl. What do you think happened to him? You see what I'm saying?
I don't care what happened to Kobe. We explained about what you talking about. What are you
talking
about?
I'm talking about Kobe Bryant going with that vanilla girl like that little O'Shea that turned him into a jailbird, a proud, young, beautiful black man, a jailbird out in Colorado.
Look.
Out there in
a white town. All I want you to understand is they pursue them. It's not vice versa. It's not.
What about what he's saying?
But the majority, is the man is
that,
pursuing that woman.
That's the point of this gentleman's call. What do you have to say to that?
Well, first of all, these white girls have got our brothers so turned around. They think that they are pursuing them. The white girls have got their heads turned around, thinking they're pursuing. The white girls stick their hook into a black man. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
It's that man doing that. It ain't that.
No, that's what I'm saying, you brother. You have got it wrong.
You, I'm telling you. I'm with them. I hang out with them.
I see them every day. I'm in a nail shop with them, in a hair salon with them. I'm listening to them babbling around that perfume counter, talking about a black man this, and he thinks.
They couldn't if that man didn't want them. You think they wouldn't got him? No.
Yeah, they
wouldn't
have put their hooks around. I'm just saying all the white girls, stay away. Stay away. And where'd you get that name from?
You need to talk to the brothers. You need to leave them alone and talk to the brothers. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're wasting your time talking to them.
Let me
talk to the brothers.
Are you Muslim?
No.
So what's up with Rashan? What's that about?
My father named me after jazz musician Rashan Roland Kirk.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, that's where my name comes from.
I saw him at the...
you did?
Yeah, I saw him at the Southgate Palace when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You saw Rashan Roland Kirk?
Yeah.
A white boy?
Yeah, a white boy. I went to... All right, Rashan, thank you very much.
Is your wife
all right.
Now, I want to ask Rashan, is your wife full black or octoroon or what is she?
Full black. She's dark.
All right, she's not mahogany or kind of a chestnut?
No,
all right.
She's dark.
All right, thanks very much, Rashan, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Gia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Hi, Gia.
Hi. I'm calling because I totally disagree with Mrs. Biggins. First of all, she sounds very racist. And I don't know if you know about the movement that Martin Luther King Jr. fought for, equality, honey. Look it up in the book. What does equality mean? So you're going to take us back to the 60s when we was getting our butt kicked, when we were fighting, when they wanted separate but equal. That's what you're talking about. You are talking about keeping races segregated. And that's
look what
Martin
you find
King
yourself
fought
a white
for.
Man.
Didn't he fought for equality?
Right, he fought for equality. So why don't you go find yourself
so
a white man?
Why can't anybody get whoever they want? I have an 8-year-old son. I'm an African American.
Oh my
mother.
God, you want to
I
put your
have three
boy?
Brothers. My brothers say black, white, Mexican, mixed, whatever makes them happy.
Mink?
I mix black.
You said like a mink, like a mink.
I do not tell them who to date and why to date. Because like Rashan, the other caller
well,
said,
you should.
Black men seek out the white women, and you got it twisted.
No.
Because
my brother had it all wrong
white
because
woman,
a white girl
the
is looking for the black man.
Is
you Muslim? I
want to
ask you something.
The white woman is at their every
I
want to
ask
not
lady.
The other way
Gia,
around.
I want to ask you something, Gia. Are you Muslim?
No, I'm not.
Where'd you get the name Gia?
I got from my mother. I have no idea. She said a nurse named me in the hospital.
And you're not Muslim?
I'm not Muslim.
Why do you think she's Muslim with the name Gia?
Yeah.
Is that Muslim?
No, that's not a Muslim name.
I think it's Japanese.
Japanese?
Yeah.
Are you Buddhist?
No, I'm not. I'm black. I'm African American.
Are you Taoist? Are you Confucianist?
No, I'm not. Did you just hear me?
Are you black?
I am Baptist.
Are you Baptist or are you black?
I'm African
American. Are you Jewish?
No. Didn't I just say I was black?
She says she's black.
She's asking me, am I Jewish? Am I Jewish?
Wait.
My name.
That Sammy Davis Jr. was Jewish. He black?
Lord.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
I'm not Sammy Davis Jr.
Have you
not
got a reverse
Jewish.
Perm?
I am Baptist.
All right, then I got another question. Have you a reverse perm or are you all natural with a fro?
Have I what?
Have you got the reverse perm? Do you jerry curl or is
what
it a natural fro?
Hell is
what
a
the hell are you asking
perm?
That?
I don't wear a perm, honey.
All right, so you got the
hair,
jerry.
My dad is Indian and my hair is straight, but my hair is I can get in the shower and wet my hair.
You're not one of these sisters claiming you an Indian, because I just told
you. No, I am not. I am African American. I just told you what
I was. Well, you said your dad was an Indian.
Okay, but that doesn't matter.
Doesn't mean
did I wear a perm, and I told you no, and I was telling you why. Do you wear a perm? Because you know what? I believe deep in your heart, are you married or divorced?
I am married. I'm married to Reverend Pastor William Redding.
Is this your second marriage? Because I believe somewhere down the line, some black man left you for a white woman.
I've got issues. Honey, I got a brother for a... Do you crimp your hair?
Do I what?
Do you crimp?
Crimp.
Crimp your hair.
No, I don't.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. This is very important. Are you bald? Do you have weaves?
Why are you asking all these questions?
What does that have to do with white women dating black men?
I want to know if you're a proud sister.
I'm a proud sister, honey. I got a black son with a black baby daddy.
I'm going to tell you this.
Okay,
I'm going to tell you something. You're going to like
stereotyping.
Are you stereotyping? No, I'm
because
not.
Because, see, it's black women out here with five and six baby daddies.
That's
we
right.
can stereotype all day.
Well, that's
I don't
why
want
I'm
my brother
saying,
dating them.
Look at honey, you were out there and you see all them Pam Grill movies.
Ladies, hold on.
I want to ask her, does she wear hoop earrings?
Will you forget about weaves?
What the hell is up?
All right, here's what I'm asking.
I don't wear any earrings. I don't wear makeup. What is the point?
Let me find out what the point of this is.
Here's my point, Phil.
Do you wear earrings?
Nothing.
Do you have
a black woman is a white woman is no match for a black woman. When a black woman wants a black man, do you have rings around your neck like them people in Swaziland?
Do you?
No, you don't.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Is your hair a natural?
My hair, I conked it.
You crimped it?
No, I conked.
You what?
I conked it, darling. I straightened it out.
What, you straighten it out?
Yeah, I want to look like Pam Grier.
Okay, why do you want to look like the white woman?
When's the last time Pam Grier looked white? I want to look like Pam Grier.
What? Okay, but her hair is straight.
You're talking about white women, but you're
trying to look like them.
No.
You ain't no sister with
look,
that black power sign.
Look, I snap my gum and I move my neck in a circle whenever I'm at.
Do you wear makeup? You sitting up there telling that caller, white woman would be on makeup. Do you have a makeup
right now?
You
got a hoochie mama. She had a purple
hair. I don't have any makeup, honey.
This has turned into...
So you don't wear no purple eyes?
I don't wear nothing, honey. I don't wear nail polish.
You snap your gum and move your neck in a circle when you're
on. I don't wear earrings.
Right.
I don't wear any type of jewelry.
Can I ask a question here? By insulting,
I have one ring,
hold on.
And that's
by
my wedding ring.
By insulting a lot of people tonight, Ms. Bingham, how do you hope to keep black men away from white women?
I'm trying to show how strong black women are and how a black man would be happy with a black woman instead of having some little vanilla snowflake hanging on his arm who's going to dump him in 6 months for the first white man to come along.
Why would they dump him? Okay, how come the black man can't dump the white woman? Why are you
black
saying
man,
you
it's impossible for a black man to dump a white woman?
He
all hooked
you
up.
You keep saying
he's all
they
messed up.
Go with them
all right, okay.
Dump in 6 months.
Because the
you
black man's fine.
Personal with
but
it.
A white woman gets to a black man's mind is like a real good,
a white woman.
A real good shot.
All right, look. Thank you very much for all of the comments that I've heard tonight. But I haven't understood the last 5 minutes of conversation. I picked up hoop earrings and conk.
That one morning says she can't name one show Shirley Hempel was on.
Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Thank you, Clara Bingham of Joyful Union Congregation. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Hendry Show is back. Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hello, Justin. Hello.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Justin.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. They should get out of your life. They should throw you out. I had a son like you. I'd know what to do with him. What you need is a job. Do you go to school?
Do you ever do cartoon voices or anything?
Do you go to school?
Yeah.
What grade are you in?
I'm a junior in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you respect your teachers?
Well, all of a sudden, what is this, the Grand Inquisition? I mean, I'm on here
I'm
as a guest
you,
on the show
you
and stuff.
Do you respect your teachers?
No,
you should respect
no, I don't.
Your parents.
No, I hate my teachers. I hate them.
You probably hate your parents.
Yeah, sort of, because they're
sure,
like you.
Of
they're
course.
Just all...
You have every right to hate them. They're too damn good for you.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, number one...
You know, Justin, I have three words for you.
God, you wonder why they find old ladies dead, too.
Okay, now what's that supposed to mean?
Justin.
Yeah?
Justin.
Yes, ma'am.
I have some words for you. Shape up or ship out. Okay?
Yeah, whatever.
If you don't like it, get out. No one's holding you there. Get the hell out.
Okay, say hello to John Adams and everybody else on the Mayflower for me.
You son of a gun, you. You're very rude. You're a nasty person.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I love my mom and everything, but her and her friends were nothing but like suburban sex hogs.